We're in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning. Those of you who are here last week know that I began a sort of short series on church membership, and hopefully we'll finish today. This will be the part two of the sermon on church membership and its importance in the life of the Christian who wants to follow Jesus and be a biblical Christian. And my sort of springboard text for that is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Father, we do ask that you would remind us this morning that we are the body of Christ, and that individually we are to be members of it, and that you have appointed in the church various gifts and giftings and callings. And you've done that, Lord, and we have different callings and different gifts, but you've called us to do church together and love one another and use our gifts for this more excellent way, which is love, to love one another deeply and serve one another and build one another up, encourage one another. And so, Father, we pray that that would happen today, that we, even as we gather and hear your word, that we would be built up, that we would be encouraged, that I would use the gifts you've given me to serve your people and love them, Father. And we pray that they would be built up, that I would be built up, and God, that we would grow in love for you and love for one another. And so help us, God, rightly understand what it means to be a member of a church. And we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. We pray if there's anyone among us who's not born again, that today, Lord, through your word, you would cause people to be saved. And so, God, be with us and encourage us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're thinking together about why church membership is so important. Why should you be or become a church member? And largely I've used the Bible and these two books that have pointed me to the Bible about church membership. Why Should I Join a Church by Mark Dever and Church Membership, How the World Knows Who Represents Jesus by Jonathan Lehman. Very helpful books if you want to study more about this. You can borrow these. This one is actually in our church library. You can check it out. But what is membership and why is it so important? That's what we're thinking about. And we thought about last week about what the term church means, that the Greek word for church is ekklesia. It means gathering. And so we are gathering here together as God's people called out by God. A church is a group of born-again believers, those who've repented of their sins, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have covenanted together to live together, to serve together, to worship God together, to love one another under the authority of biblically qualified elders who come together to worship God, partake of the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, who practice church discipline, who hold one another accountable to live according to Christ's commands. That's what a church is. And I mentioned last week that of the 114 times in the New Testament that word church is used, at least 90 of those refer not to the universal church, but the local church. Local churches like Awney Baptist Church who gather together to worship God. What is membership? Well, what does membership look like at our church? What it looks like at our church is it's not just attending. So sometimes people think that just by attending here, they're members, and that's not the case. To be a member of our church means that you actually go through the membership classes. It means that you come for an interview in front of the elders to ask, what is your testimony? How did you come to know Christ? Tell us the gospel. We want to make sure you know the gospel. And then the whole church actually votes on your membership. And why do we do that? Because God has called the church and the elders to, as best we can, ensure that those who join a local church are actually born again, actually know Jesus. Because as we're going to see today, it's very serious. When you join a church, the church is basically saying, yes, you are qualified to be a representative of Christ. And the church has the power to do that. Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to the church. And we're going to see that today. God gave the power to declare who is qualified to be a representative of Jesus on earth to the church. That's what church membership is. One pastor says belonging to the church is at the very heart of Christianity. Martin Lloyd-Jones comments, we must grasp once again the idea of church membership as being the membership of the body of Christ and as the biggest honor which can come a man's way in this world. So we looked at several reasons why you should become a church member last week, and we're going to continue through those reasons today. Number one was become a church member because it's where God's people are under God's rule in God's place. Number two, become a church member because Christians in the early church joined the church. Number three, become a church member because Christians in the early church kept lists like the widow's list. Number four, become a church member to display the gospel. And to review that point a little bit, what is the gospel? We're here as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to display the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Do you remember, Anthony? Always ask Anthony the gospel. Tap Anthony. Anthony, you remember the gospel? Okay. We're going over the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel is what calls us together to be church members. The gospel means good news. It's the good news of what God has done in Christ to save sinners. And we are here, I hope, this morning because we realize we're not enough in and of ourselves. We are sinners. We're here this morning because we're sinners. We have fallen short of God's glory. The Bible very clearly teaches this, that all of us in manifold ways have fallen short of the glory of God. We've sinned against Him. We've not loved Him as we should. We've not served Him as we should. As we read through our Bibles this year, we're going to notice commandments that we've broken over and over again. The Bible declares all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And to be a church member, you must realize that. You must realize that you are a sinner deserving hell. That's what we deserve. Every person who's ever lived is a sinner except one, and His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus is the perfect, holy, righteous God-man. He's fully God and fully man, and He lived a perfectly obedient life to the Lord's commandments. And then He died on that cross where He suffered the curse and the judgment and the wrath of God. He suffered God's curse that we deserve. He took the hell that we deserve upon Himself and died and was buried. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. And He calls everyone everywhere to turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And He's the only way to God. There's no other way to be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. And this is the foundation of what we stand on as a church, the gospel, the life, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to become a church member, you must believe that gospel. And if you're here this morning or listening online and you haven't done that, I urge you to trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe on Him and He will save you. He will forgive you of all of your sins and adopt you into His family. But the gospel is the only way to be saved and to escape the wrath to come. And when we believe this gospel, we want to be a part of Christ's church, the body of Christ. And so we're going to continue looking at reasons that you should become a church member if you're a Christian. Number five, become a church member because Jesus gave the church the authority to declare you to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom. Become a church member because Jesus gave the church the authority to declare you to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom. What is the only institution on earth that God has given the authority to declare you to be a true citizen of Christ's kingdom? The local church. The local church. And I'm going to read an extended excerpt from this book explaining this. This is Jonathan Lehman, his book, Church Membership. This starts by quoting Matthew 16:18-19, where Jesus speaks to Peter and tells him, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Matthew 16:18-19, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the first of two times Jesus uses the word church. Here he is talking about the universal church, the assembly of all Christians from all ages who will gather at the end of history. Jesus will build this end time assembly. How will he build it? He will build it on this rock. What rock? Theologians have long debated whether the rock is Peter or Peter's confession. In fact, I think we have to say both. Theologian Edmund Clowney writes, the confession cannot be separated from Peter, neither can Peter be separated from his confession. Jesus will build his church not on words and not on people, but on people who believe the right gospel words, like the Word himself who became flesh. Jesus will build the church on confessors. Jesus then gave Peter and the apostles the keys of the kingdom, which gave Peter the authority to do what Jesus had just done with him, to act as God's official representative on earth for affirming true gospel confessions and confessors. The interactions between heaven and earth in this passage are amazing to consider. Peter rightly confessed who Jesus was, and Jesus said that Peter's right answer came from the Father in heaven. Though Jesus was on earth, he spoke on behalf of heaven. Then, in the very next breath, he authorized Peter to do the same thing, to represent what's bound and loosed in heaven by binding and loosing on earth. Bible scholars sometimes talk about binding and loosing as a judicial or rabbinic activity, which is helpful for understanding this phrase. For instance, a rabbi might decide whether some law applied to bound a particular person in a certain set of circumstances. Jesus essentially gave the apostles this kind of authority, the authority to stand in front of a confessor to consider his or her confession, to consider his or her life, and to announce an official judgment on heaven's behalf. Is that the right confession? Is that a true confessor? In other words, the apostles had heaven's authority for declaring who on earth is a kingdom citizen and therefore represents heaven. I'm not saying that Jesus established a church membership program in Matthew 16, but he indisputably established the church, which is its members, and he gave it the authority of the keys to continue building itself effectively, the authority to receive and dismiss members. The authority of the keys is the authority to assess a person's gospel words and deeds and to render a judgment. Two chapters later, where Jesus uses the word church for the second and last time, we see those keys put into action. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. The passage begins with the picture of a brother sinning, and his sin is out of step with his confession of faith. Jesus then recommends four rounds of confrontation. In round one, the confrontation is kept private. If the sinner repents, his confession of faith regains its credibility, and the confrontation stops. His life matches his confession. He is once more representing Jesus rightly. In round two, the confrontation expands to include two or three witnesses, as in an Old Testament judicial setting. In round three, the whole church or assembly becomes involved. If the sinner still does not repent, round four ensues, which involves removing the individual from the covenant community, treating him like an outsider. Sometimes this is called church discipline or excommunication. Jesus then invokes the keys of the kingdom again. Whatever the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever the church looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Jesus is not addressing the apostles or the universal church here. He's envisioning a local church. The local church, it appears, has been given the apostolic keys of the kingdom. As a result, the local church has heaven's authority for declaring who on earth is a kingdom citizen and therefore represents heaven. Jesus has authorized the local church to stand in front of a confessor, to consider the confessor's confession, to consider his or her life, and to announce an official judgment on heaven's behalf. Is that the right confession? Is this a true confessor? It's just like Jesus did with Peter, and it will do these things with the ordinances that are established in Matthew 26 and Matthew 28, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Matthew 18, which is filled with even more earth and heaven talk than Matthew 16, represents a crystal clear picture of this authority in the context of church discipline. But the ability to remove someone from membership presupposes an overarching authority to assess a person's gospel words and deeds and to render a judgment. This authority begins the moment a person shows up in the church building doors claiming, as Peter did, that Jesus is the Christ. The state's representative authority, we said in chapter 1, is seen most clearly in its ability to end a person's life. Likewise, the church's representative authority in Christ's kingdom is seen most clearly in its ability to remove a person from citizenship in Christ's kingdom. In both cases, the full extent of institutional authority is indicated by the power to decisively end a person's membership through death in one case and excommunication in the other. Yet it's the same authority that is exercised when two or three gather in Jesus' name and baptize a person in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, licensing the person as an official card-carrying disciple. As such, when it comes to a Christian's discipleship to Christ, the local church is Christ's highest authority on earth. No, it's not an absolute authority, any more than the state is. But Christ does mean for Christians to submit to the oversight of local churches by virtue of their citizenship in His kingdom. Will the local church exercise the keys perfectly? No. It will make mistakes, just as every other authority established by Jesus makes mistakes. As such, the local church will be an imperfect representation of Christ's end-time gathering. But the fact that it makes mistakes, just as presidents and parents do, does not mean it's without an authoritative mandate. Does all this mean that what a local church does on earth actually changes a person's status in heaven? No. The church's job is like an ambassador's or an embassy's. Remember what I said about visiting the U.S. Embassy in Brussels when my passport expired? He told a story about he was overseas and he's a U.S. citizen, but his passport expired, so he had to go to the embassy to get their stamp of approval, again affirming that he is an actual citizen. That's what the local church does. The local church doesn't make people Christians, but it declares by your life and confession, it's a declarative authority that you are a kingdom citizen. The embassy didn't make me a citizen. It formally affirmed it in a way I could not myself. so with a local church. Beloved, in a world of American individualism, in a world that's scared of Roman Catholic authority, in a world that has no understanding really of Scripture, you need to hear this. Jesus Christ gave the local church the authority of binding and loosing and the keys of the kingdom to declare who is and who is not a kingdom citizen. And if you want to rightly represent Jesus, you should join a church who has that authority to declare you an actual citizen of Jesus' kingdom. And so that's number five. And it may be the most important one we look at today. Become a member of a church because Jesus gave the church the authority to declare you to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom. Number six, become a church member because Christians in the book of Acts were added to the church. Acts 2:41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As they repented of their sins and believed the gospel, they were added to the church. Number seven, become a church member to love one another. Many of you are familiar with all the one another's in Scripture. This is something it's impossible to do if you just sort of remain this nebulous, I'm a member of the universal church and not a member of an actual local church. We're called to all of these one another's in Scripture. Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another then as Christ has accepted you. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Serve one another in love. Carry one another's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In humility, consider others better than yourself. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. For all these reasons, we should be committed members of local churches where we actually get to know one another well enough to do these things. Notice in many of these, you have to know one another well. It's not going to be good enough to just be here for an hour and then go home and see each other next week for an hour. To bear one another's burdens, you have to get to know one another enough to know what your burdens are. To admonish one another when some of us are falling into sin, when some of us are not living according to God's word, we need to be in each other's lives enough to see patterns of life and to admonish one another in love. To spur one another on to love and good deeds. Daily, the Bible says, we need to be in one another's lives more than just here, now. And so become a church member to be committed to do these things and love one another together. Number eight, become a church member to seek the peace and unity with the church. Jesus prayed in John 17:20-23, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. And so Jesus is praying for those who would believe that we would be radically one like he and the Father are one. And why? So that the world may know that you sent me, he says. Again, We are God's evangelism program. How will the world know that God has sent the Son? By our love and unity with one another as a church. And so join a church to make this unity clear to the world. Number nine, become a church member to care for one another physically and spiritually. In Acts 6, we see that people were set aside, those filled with the Spirit, were set aside to care for those in need physically. And so we're to care for one another when we have physical needs, financial needs. And we're also to care for one another spiritually. We are joining a church to help one another be conformed to the image of Jesus. Do you realize that when you join a church, you are taking on the responsibility to make sure Joseph grows in Christ, to make sure this other fellow member is growing in Christ? That's now my burden, my responsibility to help my fellow members both physically and spiritually grow in Christ. Number 10, become a church member to watch over one another and hold one another accountable. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. We are to love one another enough that when we see one another do something that is not in accord with God's word, that when we're in sin, we love one another enough to go to one another in love and humility and say, brother, sister, I love you, and what you're doing is not in accord with God's word. And guess what? People get offended when you do that because we're in our sin. And when we're in our sin, we don't like to be called out. But you ought to want to be a member of a local church because you know you're a sinner and you know you can be deceived and you know you have the possibility of straying and you love Jesus more than your feelings and you want people in your life who will get in your face and tell you when you're not following Christ. I think of one of the counseling professors at Westminster. He was telling the story of how he was going to join a local church one time. And in the interview with the pastor, he asked the pastor, so what will you do when I am in an affair and walking away from my wife? What are you going to do? And the pastor said, well, we're going to obey Jesus. We're going to follow Matthew 18. We're going to confront you with that. If you listen and repent, we've won our brother. If you don't, we're going to take two or three witnesses and confront you with your sin. If you listen and repent, praise God. If not, we're going to tell it to the whole church. And if you listen to the church, praise God. If you refuse to listen to the church, then we're going to excommunicate you and declare that you're an unbeliever who is not following Christ. And the professor said, good, this is the church I want to join. Good. Now, a lot of people, right, would say, what? Bye, see ya. No, but this man knows the Bible. This man knows Jesus. This man knows that he can be tempted to do something like that, and he needs people in his life who will love him enough to do that. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do, to love one another enough to hold each other accountable. And so become a church member to watch over one another and hold one another accountable. 11, become a church member to edify and build up one another. 1 Corinthians 14:1-5 says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him but he who utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. And the reason I'm reading that portion is you notice that the Holy Spirit's focus on building up the church. Building up the church, edifying the church, building one another up, helping one another follow Jesus. We should become church members to build each other up and use our gifts to help one another follow Christ. 12, become a church member to bear with one another. Ephesians 4:1-3, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're sinners. You join a church, you're joining a church full of sinners. And guess what? Sinners sin against each other. And what does that call for? Bearing with one another. For the sake of unity, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, not running away as soon as we're offended or we don't like something. But again, I'm trying to help you see this as more like a marriage, even though it's not fully like a marriage. But it is interesting that the analogy that marriage points to Christ in the church. Marriage points to Christ in the church. God created the human institution of marriage to point to the reality. Human marriage is a passing picture. The reality is Christ in the church. And Christ never leaves His bride. His bride never leaves Christ. And He calls members of churches to bear with one another in patience, to love one another, to maintain unity, to fight for that unity, and to become a church member and make a commitment to bear with one another through thick and thin and love each other even when times are hard. 13, become a church member to pray for one another. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Beloved, we have a church membership directory to help us pray for each other. That those are the names that those in that directory, as we'll get to later, those are the names I'm going to give an account for on the day of judgment as your pastor. I'm not going to give an account for people who just visit. I'm not going to give an account for people who are here a little, there a little. I'm going to give an account for the people on that roll. Those are the people who burden my heart. Those are the people I pray for regularly. Those are the people that I'll stand before God and give an account for on the day of judgment. And we pray for those people. That directory is for us to pray for one another, to care for one another, love one another in prayer. Become a church member to pray for one another. 14, become a church member to keep away from those who would destroy the church. Become a church member to keep away from those who would destroy the church. Romans 16:17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. If you've been here long, you know that I care about true doctrine. We should care about right doctrine and biblical teaching. You should become a church member so that you're protected from false teachers and false teaching. God has called me as your pastor to care for your soul and to make sure that what is taught here in this pulpit is faithful and biblical and right. He's called the elders here, Elder Michael Todd and Elder Michael Osborne and Elder Daniel Scudder to care for the flock by ensuring that sound doctrine is taught. And so you want to be under the membership of a local church to keep you from false teaching. And there's so much out there. Fifteen, become a church member to reject evaluating people by worldly standards. Become a church member to reject evaluating people by worldly standards. James 2 says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We join ourselves together with people who are very different from us to show that we do not show partiality, that we love people because we love them made in God's image and we love them who are Christ followers. And so God is joining people in local churches, not based on affinity groups. That's the craze of church planners that want to get big growth, is you need to get people who are all the same and that's going to attract everybody. And so you get all the young marrieds or all the young people or, you know, all the, we're going to have a cowboy church. You know, you do these things that people have in common and that gets people together. That doesn't glorify Christ. That glorifies cowboying. What draws us together is what is going to be glorified. Well, what draws people together here? People who are young, people who are old, people who look different, people from different backgrounds. Jesus draws us together. That magnifies Jesus. And that's what we want to do. Become a church member to reject evaluating people by worldly standards. Become a church member, 16, to labor together for the spread of the gospel. This is the mission of our church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're called to come together for this purpose, to make disciples, to share the gospel, to get the word out that others might be saved and brought in to Christ's kingdom. Become a church member to labor together for the spread of the gospel. 17, become a church member to be godly examples to one another. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, the Holy Spirit says. Those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Remember your leaders. If you're not a member of a church, who are your leaders? How do you obey Jesus? I mean, how do you obey God's word if you're not a member of a church? Who are your leaders? You can't obey passages of Scripture without this. You can't. Become a church member, 18, to submit to church leaders. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Beloved, how do you obey that command if you have no formal leadership? How do you obey that if you haven't submitted yourself to a local church as a member? You can't obey God's word. We can't fulfill the Great Commission to teach people to obey all that Jesus has commanded, right? Unless you formally submit yourself to a group of leaders in a church that you can obey this command. Become a church member. Number 19, so that church leaders will know who they are accountable for. Help me obey. Help the elders obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. I'm going to give an account to God for how I care for your soul. And again, Who's on my radar as those I'm giving account for? It's those in that membership directory. Those who have gone through the classes, who've come for an interview, who have been voted on by the church and are written in that name. That's who I'm going to give an account for. That's who, if I don't see in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to call you. That's who we're going to run after if we don't see you. That's who I'm responsible for. How do I know who that is? Membership. Church membership. That's how I know. Become a church member so church leaders will know who they're accountable for. 20. Become a church member because God forbids you to say to other Christians, I don't need you. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We need each other. We need each other in the body of Christ. God does not give us the right to say that we don't need you. We do need each other. We need God. We need Christ. We need one another. God made us to be in community in a local church. 21, become a church member because Christ's body consists of individual members. You're going to hear several metaphorical pictures that the Word of God uses to describe the church. Christ's body consists of individual members. 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And so God's word uses the metaphor of a body, like a physical body, with eyes and a head and feet and legs and toes. And what happens if you cut this finger off and lay it over here by itself? apart from the body? It dies. It dies. And in the same way, you as individual members, you weren't meant to be apart from the body. You were meant to be connected to the body, that you might have life and strength and vitality. Become a church member because temples are made up of individual stones. The Word of God gives the picture of the body of Christ as a temple. The church as a temple. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built up together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So the temple is made up of individual stones. If you take the stone out and place it by itself, what is it? It's nothing. It's not a part of the temple anymore. Become a church member because flocks contain individual sheep. John 10:16, Jesus said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." What happens to a sheep if it gets separated from the flock? Gets eaten by a wolf. It's not safe. It's not safe. It's got to be a part of the body. Become a church member because families are made up of individual family members. John 1, 12 through 13, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And the Bible uses this familial language to describe how we are to relate to each other. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters in all purity." Again, my attempted use of calling you brother this and brother that and sister this and sister that is not Roman Catholic. It's biblical. It's the Bible that teaches us we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're a member of the family, but you never show up to family meals, you don't live in the house with the family, you never get together with the family, are you really a part of the family? Individual family members are in the family. Eric Lane comments on these metaphors for the church. "God has given us four pictures of the church, not one. This is not just to emphasize and prove the point by repetition, but also to say four different things about what it means to be a member of a church. To be a stone in his temple means to belong to a worshiping community. To be a part of a body means to belong to a living, functioning, serving, witnessing community. To be a sheep in the flock means belonging to a community dependent on him for food, protection, and direction. To be a member of a family is to belong to a community bound by a common fatherhood. Put together, you have the main functions of an individual Christian. Evidently, we are meant to fulfill these not on our own, but together in the church. Now can you see the answer to the question of why you should join a church?" 25. Become a church member to obey Jesus' command for church discipline. Become a church member to obey Jesus' command for church discipline. Again, there's no way that we can obey what we're called to do here in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5 without church membership. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. I've already read this. "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, but between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." In other words, if he's unwilling to listen to all of these people who pursued him and unwilling to listen to the church, then he's to be cast out and treated as an unbeliever, a Gentile or a tax collector. And to be cast out like that, you have to be in. What church is to be told these matters? Who, when we have a church discipline case, which we've had at this church, and we have people who refuse to repent of sin, refuse to follow Jesus, when I, the elders, have confronted them, other friends who know them well have confronted them about their sin, they don't want to listen, and so we've had to bring it to the whole church and say, this is what's happening with so-and-so, and they're refusing to repent. We've gone to them once, we've gone to them twice, we've called, we've prayed, we've loved on them, it's been months, they've refused to listen. Who do we tell that to? Just anybody who came in this morning? No! We tell it to the members, those who are a part of us, the church. That's who we tell this to. And who are they cast out from? If they refuse to repent, that they're cast out of the membership of the church. 1 Corinthians 5 goes into more detail on this. I'm going to read it in full. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13. You may want to turn there because you might not believe it's in the Bible if you've never heard of it before. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 13. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Among you. Notice that. Among you. Among you in the church. In the membership. Among you. And of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife. So apparently this person is sleeping with his stepmother. And you are arrogant. Ought you not to rather mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Be removed from among you. What are they being removed from? From the membership. Let them be removed from among you. They're not barred from coming and coming on Sunday. We don't say people we've excommunicated can't come on Sunday morning anymore. They're not barred from coming to the gathering of the saints on Sunday. What are they removed from? The membership. We can no longer affirm that they're actually a follower of Jesus because they're refusing to live like Christ. Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan. Paul thinks, the Holy Spirit thinks, being in church membership is very important. Don't miss that. To be outside of church membership is to be turned over to Satan. It's to be a sheep outside the flock, where wolves devour. It's dangerous. It's dangerous not to be a member of a local church. It's dangerous for your eternal soul. Deliver this man over to Satan. Why? For the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Notice, this is done in love to be for redemptive purposes. This is so that people will see their sin and repent. In this book, he tells a story of a person who was at a 4th of July event on Capitol Hill, and one of the members of their church shared the gospel with this man who was from Indonesia, and the man believed the gospel, and he got saved, and he started coming to the church and was discipled and ended up being baptized and was living as a part of the local church. But as time went on, people realized he was in the country illegally from Indonesia. And he was lying to his employer about his legitimacy of being there. And so he was lying. You can't lie and follow Jesus. You can't lie and follow Jesus. So the church came alongside him and encouraged him to tell the truth to his employer and try to get that right and be honest with his employer and do things the right way. And he refused. And they continue to try to show him what it means to follow Jesus. You can't live in a perpetual lie and follow Jesus. You need to come clean. You need to tell the truth. And he refused, he refused, he refused, he refused. They had to remove him from membership as an unbeliever. And eventually he had to go back to Indonesia. But they got an email from him. And he had repented. He had repented of his sins. He told them, y'all were right. I was wrong to be lying, and it was tearing in my spiritual life apart. And I have repented, and I want to ask the church to forgive me. And the church was rejoicing at that email. The church gathered as an assembly. They told this story. They rejoiced in God's work of bringing this man to repentance. And they wrote him a letter saying, we unanimously voted to forgive you and receive you again as a brother in Christ. And he's now in Indonesia seeking to win Muslims for Jesus. But he didn't want to go back. Staying in America was everything. He'd become an idol. I have to be here. No, you have to follow Jesus, no matter where that is. And of course, God is now using him to reach people he would have never reached if he'd stayed. So this is redemptive. This church discipline is to see people repent of their sins and follow Jesus, which is always best. Deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good, verse 6. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. You see, he's not saying don't hang out with sinners who are in the world. He's not saying that. 11, verse 11, but now I'm writing you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. You see that? That's important. Anyone who names the name of brother and is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or an idolater or reviler or drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Not even to eat with them. And so that's why when we excommunicate someone and deliver someone over to Satan, we don't serve them the Lord's Supper anymore. We don't eat with them. We can't hang out with them in a casual way. It's always got this edge on it. Friend, have you come back to Christ? Have you repented? You can't just hang out and watch the game with them anymore, because there's a tension there, and they need to be called to repentance. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Beloved, there's no way to practice this kind of instruction from Jesus and from the Apostle Paul without church membership. You have to know who's in to be able to know who's out. There has to be a clear line. Just as I showed you in the first sermon, there's always been a clear line for God. In the garden, out of the garden. In the ark, outside the ark. In the promised land, outside the promised land. In Christ, outside of Christ. In the book of life, not in the book of life. In church membership, not in church membership. This is God's way of marking off who's in and who's not. Jonathan Lehman comments, the purposes of church discipline, just so you get a big view of this, to expose sin, to warn the church members, to save sinners so the person will repent, to protect the members, and to reflect Christ. We do church discipline because the members of our church, by their lives, are supposed to reflect what Christ looks like and who He is to a watching world. And it's all done in love. In love. 26, almost done. Become a church member for assurance of salvation. Become a church member for assurance of salvation. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God warns us over and over again that we can be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Christian, you can be deceived into thinking you're a Christian and you're not. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. James 1, 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Church membership helps you discern whether you're actually a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and can assure you of your salvation is you live a life with other people. 27, become a church member to help expose false gospels and false churches. Become a church member to help expose false gospels and false churches. If you join our church, we have a statement of faith that you will be taught, and hopefully you'll agree with it. It's biblical, and you'll sign it. And in doing that, you are saying with your life, this is faithful biblical teaching. And you're rejecting those teachers and churches that are not faithful. And by joining a faithful Bible teaching church, you're making a statement about what is true and right doctrine and what is false. And so become a church member to expose false gospels and false churches. 28, become a church member because you're commanded to meet regularly together. Become a church member because you're commanded to meet regularly together. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's the very meaning of the word ekklesia, church, gathering. We're commanded to gather together. What is the purpose of our church gatherings? Again, Lehman gives five helpful points. It's where Christians go public to declare our highest allegiance. Do you realize that? When you come here, Sunday in and Sunday out, you're declaring, this is most important. This is more important than my job. This is more important than my sports team. This is more important than my kids' baseball games. This is more important than whatever it is. We're going to be here Sunday morning 10:30 because this is the most important thing in the universe. You realize you declare that when you come here every Sunday morning at 10:30. You're declaring to the world and the principalities and powers and heavenly places, Jesus is most important. And I have an appointment with Him I'm not going to miss. It's the outpost or embassy giving a public face to our future nation. This gathering is the outpost or embassy giving a public face to our future nation, the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing in this gathering. It's where we worship our King. And yes, we worship our King 24/7. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. But I would say just as there's something special when we drink and eat the Lord's Supper, there's something special about gathering here on the Lord's day with God's people, worshiping the King together. It's where our King enacts His rule through preaching the ordinances and discipline. Through the preaching of the Word, the King enacts His rule. Through baptism and the Lord's Supper, He's enacting His ordinances. And through discipline of the church, the King enacts His rule. And five, it's where God publicly makes His people known and marked off, where He draws a line between the church and the world. We showcase that when we gather together. 29, become a church member to love Jesus. Become a church member to love Jesus. Remember, at the end of the age, when the sheep and the goats are separated, and the King will answer the righteous, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul was converted and he was going to persecute Christians. In Acts 9, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was going to persecute Christians, but he didn't say that. He said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus said, you're persecuting me when you persecute Christians. Become a church member to love Jesus. Become a church member to love Jesus. The church is the bride of Christ. When you love one another, you're doing it to Jesus. When you do it to the least of the brothers, you're loving Jesus. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's going to build the church. He doesn't say, I'm going to build the parachurch organization. He didn't say, I'm going to build the small group that's in your house. He doesn't say, I'm going to build whatever else you think you want to substitute for church, ecclesia. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. I want to be a part of that. And finally, 30, become a church member to glorify God. Become a church member to glorify God. Where is it that God Almighty says that He is showcasing His manifold glory and wisdom and power to the world and the principalities and powers in heavenly places? Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Notice verse 10. Notice Ephesians 3, verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, it is through the church that God has ordained to make His manifold wisdom known to the world and the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Join a church to glorify God and make His manifold wisdom known to the watching world. We come from different backgrounds, come from different ethnicities. We're different genders, male and female, young and old, different likes, different dislikes. But we have Jesus in common. We have Jesus in common. And when we come together and join as members, that magnifies Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to save His church. Jesus came to save His bride, the church He loves and for her died, then rose so she'd be purified. He calls us one, so don't divide. Join in membership, abide. Love and serve and die to pride and sacrifice for Jesus' bride. For when you love her side by side, you're loving Christ, He's testified, and God is praised and magnified. Father, we pray that You would help us rightly understand these matters according to Your Word. Lord, we pray You would help us to be a faithful church at Olney Baptist Church. Lord, we pray that You would bring into membership those whom You want, that we would be what You want us to be. Father, we pray we would be a faithful church, a healthy church, that we would rightly understand the importance of membership, that we would rightly practice membership according to Your Word. Father, that we would do all these things from Your Word and love one another in all these ways and submit to one another, instruct one another, admonish one another, even discipline one another if we must, that we might make it to heaven. Hold us fast, Lord, through Your church. And so be with us, God, and help us. Father, if there's anyone here today who has not trusted Jesus, has not believed on Christ to be saved from the wrath to come, we pray that today they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We pray, Lord, we would be resting in this truth today. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.